Welcome to Coastline. Join us today as we look at climate change and whether rising tides could soon impact the North Carolina coast. The science is controversial. One recent report shows the East Coast as a hotspot for accelerated sea level rise, but some experts call the report misleading. Does public policy need to adjust more quickly in order to keep coastal communities safe? Or are the dire predictions questionable science? We'll talk this hour with Spencer Rogers of North Carolina Sea Grant. Also joining us, Mike Giles with the North Carolina Coastal Federation. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Stay with us. We're talking about climate change and the North Carolina coast on today's Coastline, right after the news from NPR, here on WHQR 91.3 FM.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Egyptian mediators are shuttling between Israeli and Hamas representatives in Cairo, trying to negotiate a lasting truce as a 72-hour ceasefire holds for a second day. NPR's Jackie Northam is in a small Israeli farming town along the border with Gaza and says residents are returning home, but they're wary.
They've been away for about a month. They did want to come back. They did want it to return to normal life. But the people that I spoke with said there are concerns that it's different this time than any other time they've gone through these sorts of conflicts, because they don't know if there are more tunnels under there. They don't know if in the middle of the night members of Hamas could come through.
NPR's Jackie Northam in Israel along the border with Gaza. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says the threat of Russia intervening directly in Ukraine is growing. As NPR's David Wellna reports, Hagel made the assessment today after meeting with top U.S. military officials in Germany.
Secretary Hagel made Stuttgart, Germany, his first stop on a week-long trip around the world, and his visit to the U.S. Europe Command headquarters there coincides with reports that Russia has amassed as many as 20,000 troops along Ukraine's eastern border. Hagel said he agreed with Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk's fears that this may be leading to a direct intervention by Russia in Ukraine.
When you see the buildup of Russian troops and the sophistication of those troops, the training of those troops, the heavy military equipment that's being put along that border, of course it's a reality and it's a threat. And it's a possibility. Absolutely.
U.S. defense officials in Germany say they're shipping night vision devices to Ukraine from here this week. David Wellna, NPR News, Stuttgart, Germany.
Russian President Vladimir Putin is striking back at countries that are imposing sanctions on Moscow over its alleged role in the conflict in Ukraine. Putin is restricting and in some cases banning imports of food and agricultural products from nations participating in the sanctions. This nation's trade deficit has declined to a five-month low, shrinking 7% in June. NPR's Craig Windham reports exports edged up a bit, but not enough to offset a sharp drop in imports.
The Commerce Department says the trade gap fell to a seasonally adjusted $41.5 billion in June. There were drops in imports of foreign-made consumer products, cars, auto parts, industrial supplies, and capital goods. The decline in the trade deficit was larger than expected, and it's likely to prompt an upward revision in the government's recent estimate that the economy grew at an annual pace of 4% in the second quarter. Despite June's improvement, though, the trade gap is still significantly higher than it was at the beginning of the year. Craig Windham, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 1 point at 16,429. This is NPR. On this final day of the Summit of African Leaders in Washington, First Lady Michelle Obama and her predecessor, Laura Bush, are hosting a forum for Africa's First Ladies. The focus, women and girls' education in Africa. It continues a program first launched by Mrs. Bush and former President George W. Bush. Mrs. Obama says 30 million girls in sub-Saharan Africa don't go to school. An environmental group says sales of shark fin have fallen in China by at least half. From Shanghai, NPR's Frank Langfitt reports the drop in demand for the pricey delicacy shark fin soup appears to be due to greater public awareness.
A report by the environmental group WildAid says shark fin sales in the southern megacity of Guangzhou have plummeted more than 80% in the past 2 years. In addition, according to the report, 19 of 20 Beijing restaurants surveyed said shark fin soup sales had dropped significantly. Millions of sharks are killed each year just for their fins, of which China is the largest consumer. In a public survey, respondents told WildAid they'd stopped ordering shark fin soup for conservation reasons and mentioned the group's public service announcements. People also cited a ban on government banquets, where the dish has been served as a status symbol. Frank Langford, NPR News, Shanghai.
The Hawaiian Islands are on alert as two hurricanes head in their direction. Oahu is under a tropical storm watch as Hurricane Izelle threatens to bring turbulent conditions in the next couple of days. Trailing Izelle, Julio, which has been upgraded to hurricane status with 70-mile-an-hour winds. Forecasters say it's likely to gain strength, but at this point it's far from Honolulu. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks, online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com.
Six minutes after 2 o'clock, you're listening to Coastline on WHQR 91.3 FM. For the rest of the afternoon, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Today's high in the lower 90s. Tonight, still a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low in the lower 70s. Thursday's outlook, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high in the lower 90s.
From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Our topic today is climate change. What does this phenomenon, now widely accepted by the scientific community, mean for coastal areas in North Carolina? How concerned do we really need to be? It was 2010 when a report on sea level rise by the Coastal Resource Commission science panel turned the topic into a lightning rod in Raleigh and across the state. A draft version of the report initially recommended that North Carolina prepare for sea levels to rise up to 55 inches by the year 2100. The report also said a rise of 39 inches was likely. 2 years later, lawmakers passed House Bill 819, the Coastal Management Policies Act, which put a four-year moratorium on creating any policies related to sea level rise. The law also required sea level rise to be calculated on historical data, not on the accelerated rates that scientists have said are the trend of the future. North Carolina's response to the science made national news and became fodder for well-known comedians. Here's Stephen Colbert from The Colbert Report in 2012.
This is a brilliant solution. If your science gives you a result that you don't like, pass a law saying that the result is illegal. Problem solved. In fact, I think we should start applying this method to even more things that we don't want to happen. For example, I don't want to die. But the actuaries at my insurance company are convinced that it will happen sometime in the next 50 years. However, if we consider only historical data, I've been alive my entire life. Therefore, I always will be.
There's a great deal at stake on all fronts. Billions of dollars in investment could become virtually worthless if thousands of miles of coastal property are declared unbuildable. Such a designation could also cause insurance rates for existing property owners to spike. But environmental advocates and supporters of a more progressive approach say that without long-term planning, infrastructure, property, and important coastal ecosystems are all at risk. Joining us now in the studio to talk about this is Spencer Rogers, a coastal engineer and geologist with North Carolina Sea Grant, a coastal research and education program. He's also on the science panel that advises the Coastal Resources Commission. Spencer Rogers, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you for the invitation.
Also with us in the studio today, he's worked as a wildlife biologist and enforcement officer with the National Park Service and the Army Corps of Engineers. For the last 7 years, he's been with the North Carolina Coastal Federation, an environmental advocacy group. Mike Giles, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm proud to be here with Spencer. I know Spencer very well.
During the next hour, you're invited to join our discussion. Are you a homeowner or a business owner with property on the coast? Are you concerned about sea level rise? Do you think the science isn't there yet and it's an issue for later generations? Would you like to see more community planning for it? Give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. Spencer Rogers of North Carolina Sea Grant, let's begin with you. Tell us first where we are right now with the science piece of the puzzle. What is the general consensus in the scientific community about how sea level rise will affect our region?
Well, one of the important things to understand is that there's no debate on whether sea level will rise or not, or has been rising, because it's very apparent in our tide gauge records and has been for at least 100 years in North Carolina and probably longer than that internationally. So sea level is gradually rising. It's never been a constant, and most people that work with water levels have understood that forever. It's only since climate became an issue that the debate over whether sea level was rising or not has become an issue. And I think the issue that's really under discussion is, if climate accelerates the sea level rise, how much will it do that in the future?
Why is the science controversial then?
It's a very difficult effort to predict climate, for one thing. And it's hard enough to predict the weather next year or tomorrow. But climate in the long run is a very challenging prediction. But in order to understand what sea level is going to do, you've got to understand what climate's going to do. So all we can do is make some crude modeling and estimates of what might happen at some distant time in the future. Tomorrow is not very difficult. Next month, next week, the next year, those are things that we can predict pretty well. But the farther out you get, the more difficult it gets.
Mike Giles with the North Carolina Coastal Federation. Sea level rise is an issue that's been on your radar for quite a while. Why is it so important to this region?
Well, we all live here at the coast. We live, we work, we play. The coast is one of our main economic engines of our state and of our east coast of the United States. Everybody wants to live near the coast, and everybody wants to work or play. I'm in both categories. What's important, I think, to people is to get educated about sea level rise and to get educated about climate change. We think the science is there. You know, we feel that putting politics into science is troublesome. It causes problems when politics trump the science. Everyone at the coast should be concerned. Your first comment in the beginning was a lot of the coast could become unbuildable. Well, unbuildable, you know, that's not proven. That's not a fact. We need to think about change. We need to think about, I think Spencer is the expert here on sea level rise, but we need to think about adaption. We need to think about restoration of our coast that can help alleviate and mitigate some of the effects of sea level rise. But it's going to happen. It's going to change, and we need to be ready and plan long term for it.
So then what is the political fight that you encountered? If this is a phenomenon that's established, and if it's generally recognized that adaptation and the ways that we do that and mitigation options we'll get into in a little while, but why has it been such a political lightning rod?
Well, I think that people that make their living at the coast and real estate companies, developers, industrial, everyone, you know, they have a stake in the coast. And when information comes out that they might not understand or that scares them, they're going to react. The NC20 group reacted very strongly against the climate change report and the sea level rise report, correct me. And
the NC20 group, just to be clear, is an economic development group that was very opposed to the initial draft report, Spencer Rogers, that your group put out, the science panel for the Coastal Resources Commission.
There are a variety of groups that were against it, including NC20. Mm-hmm.
And what we all need to do is work together instead of battling in two fronts. And, of course, the Coastal Federation, we're involved in advocacy. That's my main job with the Coastal Federation. And we need to learn to work together and step up above the politics and start addressing the problem and talking about solutions.
So
let's talk about what sea level rise is. Why is it an issue, Spencer Rogers, for coastal communities? What effects do we see from it?
Well, think about what any person as an observer along the coast is likely to see as sea level rises or has risen in the past. And it's probably not what people think. That what effect we will be able to observe is that we have nuisance flooding now that will get a little bit worse each year over the years and get progressively worse over time. And that's just mainly a nuisance initially. As the nuisance increases and some level of high frequency, it becomes more than just a nuisance and something we have to immediately deal with. But the other end of it is what it does on the higher end of our storm surges, so that the effect of sea level rise is to make each storm event, whatever might occur in the future, a little bit worse in each progressive year in the future. So we're looking at increased nuisance flooding and slightly increasing the storm surge elevations in the future. And those are the things that, if we're careful, we may be able to observe. But those are already problems now. They're not new problems. They're just going to get a little worse, and they're going to get a little worse fairly slowly over time.
And for those people who aren't from this area or who are new to the area, storm surge is a term that we bandy about quite a bit, but it could be jargon for some people. What does that actually mean?
Storm surge is the added water level that's caused by hurricane storm surge and pressure, by hurricane winds and waves as they approach the coast. They increase the water level so they can raise the water elevations. In Brunswick County, they go up to 18 or 19 feet above sea level.
And when you're talking about nuisance flooding, what does that mean?
Nuisance flooding is when you live in a beach community or near a saltwater body and the road floods a couple times a year and on a spring tide. Spring tide happens once a month. Some are higher than others. And all of a sudden, this is happening not just once every month or so. It's happening a couple days a month.
And how is sea level rise a factor for people who don't live on the coast? We're talking about coastal communities here, but people who live, say, in Brunswick County but well inland, or New Hanover County, well inland. Why is it a concern for the entire community, Mike Giles?
Well, the coast is part of a water system. Many rivers or sounds are rivers or creeks, and when sea level rises, or when we have storm floods, or even when we have minor flooding, the flooding goes inland. And it costs money. People can't get to school. They can't get to work. It causes more mosquitoes, diseases, health issues. So it's a concern for everyone with any close proximity to the coast, especially where the rivers and creeks and sounds.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. Today we're talking with Spencer Rogers from North Carolina Sea Grant and Mike Giles of the Coastal Federation about the possible impacts of sea level rise and how the state should plan for it. Do you think public policy is keeping up with science and best practices? How should communities plan for the future? Give us a call and let us know, 910-343-1138. Send emails to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. And when we come back, we'll take a couple of emails that have just come in. This is Coastline.